Usually. Planning board meeting Monday. It's not Monday. Planning board meeting.
Thursday.
May 12th, 7:01 p.m.
Everybody, welcome to the public hearing for the Saratoga Biochar Solutions LLC site plan review. It is officially May 12th, and it is just a little bit after 7. I'm sorry, I had to clear up something quick. Our normal chairman, Pete, will not be here this evening. He is at Glens Falls Hospital under medical care. So that means that I get the wonderful joy of being chairman for the evening. The good thing for you all is when I'm chairman, I don't get as much time to ask questions or talk, which means the meetings go pretty quick. However, looking out into the audience, it appears that there's lots of other people that want to talk this evening, so we're going to get right on. I have just some structural things I want to read to make sure that everybody understands exactly where we're at here. And then what we're going to do is we're going to start at the top of our list, and we'll go in order from that point. So, if you haven't signed in already, do you still have the list in the back?
Yeah, there's a list in the back. Okay. Katrina has one if you didn't sign it. And also, if you wish to speak, please indicate on the sheet.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure it was still there. Ground rules for this evening's meeting. Pursuant to the rules of procedure adopted at the organizational meeting, each speaker will be limited to 5 minutes. Speakers may not cede their time to another speaker. Speakers must come to the podium and identify themselves before speaking. Please state your name and where you're from, mainly because we have a recording of tonight's meeting and it makes it easier for the secretary when she's transcribing the meeting. All comments would be directed to the board, not to the applicant or other members of the public. If you are an attorney and speaking on behalf of your client, please identify yourself and your client. If you are reading from a statement, please provide a copy of the statement to the planning board clerk so it can be placed in the record. Once again, it makes it a lot easier for her to describe or transcribe it directly. Only one person may speak at a time so that the clerk can have a clean recording. If you are not at the podium, we ask that you not have side talk and murmurs as it makes it difficult to hear the speaker in the audio. You guys can all hear me fine, right?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you the acoustics in this room, if you're whispering in the back, we can hear it up here, and it's hard to hear people in the middle. So if you could please keep it down, that would be really great. This is a public hearing on a site plan application only. Seeker has been determined. Please try and keep your comments related to the site plan application. This is not a debate. This is a time for you to make a comment. Neither the board nor the applicant are required to respond to questions posed. This time gives the board the opportunity to hear new evidence to be used in their deliberations on the application. While the board wishes to hear from all who desire to speak, please keep in mind that if you're merely agreeing with a statement made by another speaker, it is sufficient for you to state such without repeating the statement if you choose. It will still be part of the record. No personal attacks on the applicant or his consultants or representatives, town employees or officials, town consultants or other members of the public. You'll be warned against this, and if you continue to do so, we will have to ask you to leave. In general, everybody be nice. Okay? We hold this public hearing, the town board or the planning board does. Not for the applicant and not for the public. Specifically, we hold these meetings to get information. We want you guys to share with us things we need to know to help us inform our decision on this. Okay? Jim, can you give a timeline history, please, on this project?
Yeah, just to give everybody a little context in how this review proceeded. This particular application first came in the door as a concept plan in May 6th of 2021. The first board meeting at which the sketch plan phase of the site plan was reviewed was July 6th, 2021. Then the first meeting was held, July 6th, the first sketch plan was submitted. So it came through the door as an official application. Then on August 2nd, the planning board had their first meeting on this, August 2nd, 2021. And actually, the note to that was this was a July meeting, but given the volume of applications we had at the time, we had to split into two meetings. And so this was the second meeting of that split, and it dipped into August, but it was technically a July meeting. At that meeting, the board on August 2nd decided to request lead agent status for the purpose of the environmental assessment under the State Environmental Quality Review Act. In making that request, we have to send notices out to the involved agencies in that review. Involved agencies are those agencies that may have a permit process in the application or in the project's review. So those notices went out, and we got one response back from the agencies that we consulted. DEC consented to the Town Planning Board acting as lead agent for the SEACR assessment on August 26, 2021. Those involved agencies have 30 days in which to respond to that request. Oftentimes they do not. They simply ignore it. But DEC did respond. Then on September 27th, the second planning board meeting was scheduled to be held, and it was tabled by the applicant. They weren't ready at that time for the next part of the review, so the application was tabled. The next time it was actually heard was November 22nd, 2021, for the preliminary phase of the site plan review. That review continued into December. December 13th, that's when the first public hearing was scheduled, and the preliminary review of the environmental assessment form was done. The board went through the questions informally just to see how things were starting to appear in terms of the information received. Then on January 12th, a special planning board meeting was held in a virtual format via Zoom. It was advertised as a special meeting. And the point of that special meeting was the board members met with the staff of the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, particularly those staff members from the Air Emissions Division and the Solid Waste Division. The board had prepared, the planning board members had prepared questions in advance of that meeting that were collected via email and presented to the DEC staff for the purposes of facilitating that discussion. There was a good informational exchange occurred. It lasted, as I recall, about an hour and a half to 2 hours with the staff of DEC on that Zoom meeting. Then on March 3rd, the fourth planning board meeting was held, starting the final site plan review phase of the project, and the environmental assessment form was reviewed formally, and a negative declaration was reached and voted upon by the board members. And then I think at this point, as many of you may know, on April 18th, at the end of the March 3rd meeting, the board thought it was appropriate to have a second public hearing, so they did schedule that. And as many of you know, it was attempted to be held on April 18th. However, we had a very thin attendance at that meeting, and then unexpectedly one of the members had an accident that required a visit to the hospital, and we didn't have a quorum present, so the meeting was not held, not only for this application, but the other applications that were scheduled for that evening. So the board then held a special meeting 1 week later for the purposes of rescheduling this public hearing. And that was held on April 25th. It was a very brief meeting. The only purpose was to set the new public hearing date. And that was determined to be May 12th. And so here we are with the second public hearing on this application. What I just described are some 13 steps in the process that led us to this point. And that's where we are today.
Okay, thank you, Jim. I will remind people that the public hearing is not required. There was already a public hearing in December. This is an additional public hearing to be able to meet the needs. I'm going to read off names. Please forgive me if I mess them up. Okay, you guys wrote really neat, and I appreciate it, but I'm probably still going to misread some of these. The first three are actually for the applicant, and we are leaving time at the end of the meeting for the applicant to respond. So I'm going to pass on those three.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
You need to officially open the public hearing. You've opened the meeting.
Yeah, I haven't gotten it yet. I'm just addressing our structure here. So At this point, I will open the public hearing on the Saratoga Biochar Solutions LLC site plan review.
And I'll be the timekeeper, John, for the 5 minutes. And at the 4 minute, 45 second mark, if someone's still speaking, I will try to respectfully jump in and just remind you.
Out of respect to the fact that I have 3 pages of people, many of whom wish to speak tonight, if everybody could try to keep their comments clear and concise, give us information as quickly as you can to make sure there's room for others to speak also. Starting out this evening, I have a Dan Shields. Nope, I started right out and messed up right away because that's a no speaking. I'm sorry. A Lori LaFond.
Turbines are running more than they ever have this year. You know, 5:30 this morning, they're running 11 o'clock last night to fulfill it. And I was given this disposal processing of certain waste prohibited in the town of Row. It's 2004. Since the purpose of the town of Row is to protect and serve the health and safety and welfare of the residents in the town of Row. It shall be unlawful for any person, firm, corporation, or entity, including any government entity or agency, to dispose of, to cause, or dispose within the boundaries of the town or of any commercial or industrial waste imported into this town. I don't know if that's changed. Somebody voted out of here. Now you can bring in waste from other counties. And we got the PFS. Ann Perdue. She sent 9 questions to Raymond Happy about the facility with the PFAS. He said they'll operate minimal temperature required to eliminate PFAS to produce much avoided emissions. And then the Saratoga Today, May 6th through May 12th, she's writing, however, they follow the paralysis with a very high temperature thermal oxidation process. We've got a low temperature on this article to her, and on the paper they have a high temperature. That's all I have is the quality of life. 7 days a week. If it goes bad and it smells, you have one day, you don't even have Saturday and Sunday, you can't go out of your house. The odors, there's no leeway, it's all 100%. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Matt Boucher.
Only right in memory, I was the only person at the March 7th meeting. Heard a few disturbing things when I was here at the March 7th meeting. Heard a couple good things from our planning board. Bergman made a comment that he understands the science fine, but he was concerned about the relative closeness of the community abutting the industrial park in the amount of air pollution we already have. Very logical and makes a lot of sense. Ms. Perdue asked a bunch of good questions. I'm not going to take up the time with that. So, first thing on the seeker. This is the first time I've ever been to a planning board meeting where the planning board ever asked the applicant for the answers to seeker questions. This never happened. I've been to a lot of them. That's something the board might want to consider going forward. That's not the role of the planning board, to ask the applicants the answers. Okay. A question was posed about sewer line capability. And nobody had an answer, and I interjected at the meeting because nobody had it. I had been to previous planning board meetings and knew about the number of taps at the industrial park, or from the Skimmerhorn apartments in the capacity level. We are reaching capacity on that sewer line. Just because the plan is to run a sewer line down to Exit 16, which we'll all pay for, doesn't mean it's a good idea to max out that sewer line right now. So, the only question I have is, you know, the number of trucks going down Fort Edward Road. So contacted a couple of village board members I know in Fort Edward, and there's concern now with 180 yards to the reservoir about an accident there with any of these sewage trucks spilling over in that culvert that runs directly to their reservoir shed down there. I hope that we thought about it in case we're a co-defendant in any lawsuit from the village of Fort Edward should anything like that happen. Stuff we have to consider when we're looking at hauling 15 to 30 trucks of sewage over that road. So when I was here at the meeting, I had listened to the applicant's team, and they had talked about there being less methane emissions from this project than there would be in a landfill. Currently, we have no landfill in the industrial park, so I'm happy with the zero methane we have over there now, and I'm not looking to add any more to that. And you will notice Taunton, Massachusetts, Linden, New Jersey, these places are all have waste agreements with their municipalities. We have 95% of our people on septics. Why on earth would we haul in other people's waste and burn it in our town when we don't even have a processing facility of our own? Also something we should consider. So when we sent a person from Clean Air Action Network sent in a FOIL to request to the town and immediately went to the company. Next day, we got a call wanting to meet with us, which was fine. I commend the company for meeting with us on Zoom. Two questions I asked. One, I asked the CEO, did you approach Wilton's Industrial Park, since you live right there? The answer, of course, is no, right? It's the reason why it was called, you know, it was a zoning issue and whatever. It was easier to come to Marone. We have a zoning issue on the board right now, the plumbing and heating company, to put it on Route 9, which we should have moved to the industrial park, which would be a much better plan than what we have here. Right? I don't see any problems with the building. So, zoning, that's not the reason why that's why we consider Marone. When we asked the company, and this is the biggest concern I have, when we asked the company if they would consider continuous admissions monitoring based on the concerns of the residents, they deflected to DEC regulations 5 times. You have the recording, so you can answer. The lawyer for our network asked the question and basically pinned them down to saying no, they will not consider admissions. Tells me right there they don't really care about this community in the least. Okay? So, and that's not a slam on a business. Oh, that's fine. They're a business. They're trying to make money. But we live here, and we have a different perspective. So, DEC regulations, one-time testing for $6. Well, I would just burn wood chips about with them on the day when DEC came up. So, I'm not going to have any stack commission problem that day. DEC, as was said at the planning board meeting, doesn't even have to report the findings to the town. So, if they were out of compliance, we may never even know. So that's an issue for our town to consider before we go forward and approve anything like that. We don't have anybody to monitor that. If we can name somebody in the town of Monroe who's entrusted with monitoring that, I'd like to hear it, because I've got 8 calls in for noise ordinances on Exeon, and never once have I been contacted back. So consider enforcement when you pass something in plan. I know it's not your purview, but it never happens.
4 minutes, 45 seconds.
Finally, I'm a superintendent of schools. I've been for 18 years. My town will trust me to make decisions on behalf of children. There is zero chance that this would ever pass in the community I work in. Zero. I'd stake my career on it. Okay? This is terrible for Harrison Avenue, Monroe, Junior High. Right over the top, boom. It might be perfect, but no one here knows that. You have nobody has any positive science here. It's hypothetical, it's modeling. There's hypothetical, there's science on the other side. Oh, and also, I could have pressured all my teachers to come here tonight like Pike the Bitter Junior did as well. Just consider that too. Thank you very much.
Next up, I have Melissa Chester.
No. Good evening. My name is Melissa Chester. I live in Murrow. I raised my kids here, and that's the reason I'm here tonight, because I care about them, and I care about my family, and I care about my community. So my comments for tonight are, first, to commend Ms. Purdue for your comments and your questions that were asked in the March meeting. Among those was the previously mentioned sewer capacity, also PFAs, which were mentioned a few times by my fellow community members. These were basically glossed over and ignored in both that first meeting and in the post-art article that represented the meeting. She also addressed noise concerns, which is what I'm going to focus on now. In that meeting, the company stated distances for property owners. These were incorrect and have been measured since and could be noted, but also claimed vegetation screening. The vegetation here is seasonal tree foliage from mostly poplar trees and some maple and oak trees, which are sparsely scattered about the property. The company proposed no other sound remediation of mention, and this wasn't given a high impact declaration as it should have. They have a steel building with insulated panels. That's not a huge suppressor of noise. The board also was reminded that night that the current solo business in the park is Hexion, and has far exceeded the decibel levels alluded to in the town building code, and that zero enforcement has taken place, even though multiple neighbors have reported numerous complaints. I realize that the planning board does not have the enforcement duty here, but you do have the duty as a planning board when considering the noise levels that could accompany a chipper plant. Town code is 50 dBA, measured at the real property boundary line between the hours of 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. Article 100-5, prohibited acts and exceptions. Unnecessary noise. No person shall make, continue, cause, or permit to be made any continued, unreasonably loud, or unnecessary noise, including any excessive or unusually loud sounds which either annoy, disturb, injures, or endangers the comfort, the repose, the health, peace, or safety of a reasonable person of normal and ordinary sensitivities. This plant has been proposed to run around the clock year-round. Recently, discussions were had with the Town of Kingsbury Code Enforcement Officer about the wood chipping burning plant in their industrial park. Since 2015, there have been 15 noise complaints for exceeding decibel levels in their code. Also made were 5 major fire calls to the chip facility plant as well. This person lives directly across from the Hudson River and has expressed concerns about this project and its response to the community. As we go into Marathon Weekend and we promote all that we care about in our community, and we encourage our kids to go represent their community and dance and raise money for all of the different health factors that people have, and we encourage them and tell them it's their responsibility. Well, it's our responsibility as community members, residents, parents, and board who represent this community to do the right thing. Do what's best for your kids. Are they out playing on the rural elementary school playground? Are they smelling what's coming out of those stacks that are monitored once a year by the DEC? Can we tell the teachers that bring those kids out to recess that it's safe for them to be out there? Will we be embarrassed at the Rural Recreation Center when we bring in towns from everywhere to play our kids and they're smelling sewage burning? Will we be proud then? I ask that we consider that. Thank you.
Okay. I have a Roe Padron for Drawn. Did I come close?
Hi, my name is Roe Padron. I'm in Monroe as well. To the planning board, I stand before you today to discuss the Saratoga Biochar proposal that has been brought to my attention recently. As I had mentioned in my previous email to the planning board on April 18th, there are many concerns that I have for me, my family, and my surrounding neighbors if this proposal passes. The ultimate concern that I have, of course, is our safety. How safe is this facility if built? What kind of odors, what kind of air emissions, what kind of traffic will there be? Will the odors make us choke? Will the air emissions make us sick? Will there be major traffic, truck accidents, or sewage spills that could hurt my family or anyone else? What about the noise levels? What if there's a fire or an explosion at this facility? What safety protocols are in place? Who is going to enforce that these safety procedures are being followed? Or is Saratoga Biochar going to monitor it themselves? Why is this town considering adding another plant that has no history to a town that already has had very negative history with other plants? Do you want another repeat? There is a high concentration of cancer in this county. Why is that? According to Saratoga Biochar, they will be the first of its kind and potentially the biggest in the country to build. According to Saratoga Biochar, it is safe. If it is safe, why do they have the need to state that this facility is in an area that is less populated? Why should that matter if they are safe? Should we believe they are telling the truth because they said so in a few articles that the newspaper media wrote and on their own website? Their facility will be safe because Saratoga Biochar Solutions said so themselves. And they wrote a letter to the board that states that the common board did do their due diligence to ensure that the information provided by Saratoga Solutions themselves is true and accurate. What has been done? The Moreau Planning Board decided that a full environmental impact study was not warranted. Why? This facility is the first of its kind, right? How can the Planning Board rely on a review given by Saratoga or Biochar themselves? That is my question. Is there supporting evidence to corroborate their predictions from an outside party? Does the town really want to take this company at face value? There is no proof to prove or disprove their statements. So again, do you just rely on their words or your words? I request the board to turn the applicant's proposal down based on the fact that we just don't have enough supporting information, independent from what Saratoga Biochar Solution says. Can I trust the planning board to do the right thing? Respectfully, Roe Padron. And there's a petition that's been going around with other people that couldn't make it. I have
information here. I know we should just give this to you. Sure. But thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sean Sheeran.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Sean Sheeran. I live on Clark Road. I know some of you from sports. I've been in this town a long time, spoken at these things once, maybe twice. I do know that somebody already brought up chapter 92 already, so I'm not going to go too far into detail on that. But chapter 92 basically talks about disposal and processing of prohibited waste within the town. We're trucking in stuff, and it calls out directly that this is prohibited, especially for items that are considered prohibited waste, toxic, hazardous, and from my knowledge, human waste is considered hazardous. I'll wait until my mother speaks later. She's a nurse practitioner, doctor of nursing. I'm pretty sure medical waste is considered hazardous. There's, bacteria and things that can get into the water, spill out. And then if you go to, that's the chapter 92. And then if we go back to article 149.38, it basically gives the town planning board the ability to approve with changes and decline based on the health and well-being of your town. So I'm asking for the health and well-being of this town to decline out, right, based on the fact that we're not allowed to process hazardous material in the town. We've seen this once with GE. We had to deal with all of the dredging along the river. I really don't want to have to deal with that again when they up and leave like GE did. Thank you for your time.
Okay, up next we have Jeremy Jensen.
That was me, and I'm not speaking.
Okay. All right. I think it's Greg McCarty.
My name is Greg McCarty. I live on Reservoir Road. So, in addition to containing bacteria, we all know that municipal waste also contains PFOAs. After reading and listening to the previous meetings and reading the responses to member Purdue's questions that were provided, it seems like the facility is going to be heating waste to remove the water, and the steam is going to be used to power the kiln as part of the drying process. I can't exactly tell you that the other contaminants are going to be effectively removed, but I can say that contrary to their response to the questions, PFOAs cannot effectively be removed with heat. The EPA's website says that themselves. In addition, the EPA recommends that the only temperature that they've started to see effectiveness in removing PFOAs was 1,000 degrees Celsius, up to 1,400 for some chemicals. The proposed facility in their application is proposing low heat. So I'm not exactly sure how their responses to those questions are really going to be effective in removing PFOAs from the biosolids. We all know that, of course, PFAs are found in all of our waste in our municipal systems, but now we're going to be bringing in waste from other systems and from other towns. We know from our treatment facility that our concentration of PFOAs and PFAs in our water system are relatively low, well below the state standard. When we start bringing in waste from other communities, the biochar facility is going to have to, they are going to be contributing to the treatment plant. They're going to be sending material there. So are they going to be sending more than the treatment plant can handle? And research does show that water treatment facilities are not always effective in removing PFOAs and PFAs. Last year, there was the Sierra Club, which is a well-regarded organization, published a report that showed that over 30 brands of similar fertilizer were purchased in 8 different states, including the District of Columbia. Those bags were tested for measurable levels of PFOAs and PFAs. Over 24 different chemicals were found in those bags at levels that were, you know, cautionary. In fact, the state of Maine is actually moving to put a ban on all fertilizers that are being produced with biosolids that contain PFOAs and PFAs. If you're interested, the bill in Maine is called LD-1911. It's actually passed the House and the Senate and is on the governor's desk waiting to be signed. The reason that they're banning this is because they have found that not only were these fertilizers still containing the PFOAs and PFAs, they were leaching into the farmlands, and there were dozens of lawsuits from, you know, farmers that could no longer farm on their land because of these chemicals. In addition to, you know, some of the other concerns that people have had, you know, the DEC in their meeting with you guys did say that they would, you know, there's going to be, on the scrubbers, there's going to be continuous logging of the chemicals and the emissions. But they also said that they are not going to be auditing those emissions every year or every 2 years. They're going to be auditing them every 5 years. And the response from the DEC sounded like that might not even be the case either. It could be longer. So who's going to monitor them? What happens if they go over their output? We haven't, you know, and based on the DEC meeting, their output levels are not high enough to even have to notify neighboring towns. So what happens if they go over? I don't know that I don't know if there's necessarily a good answer. And that's why I think that we should wait on this. There is a facility in New Jersey that has, whether you like it or not, they're almost operational. They haven't started operation yet.
4 minutes, 45 seconds.
Why don't we wait and see what happens with them? Find out how that goes. But I also, you know, would really like to see an independent review happen on this. I don't see why we wouldn't want that. Thank you.
Thank you. I apologize ahead of time. I have a Karen Levine with a question mark under speaking or not.
I'm not speaking.
You're not? Okay. You left it open. I didn't know.
I appreciate that.
Is Gina LeClaire.
First, thank you for holding this public meeting. You have excellent comments, and I really admire your comments and what you've done. I'm going to speak about an appeal for you to do with independent review. I know you don't want to stop me about the secret workbook, but it's based on information from there, so just let me just go through that. Concerned with inconsistencies throughout the secret workbook. The lack of biocharge response is in their section of the environmental review workbook, and the fact that the planning board seems to be relying on Saratoga biochar for assistance with answers to the secret questions in their section of the report concerns me greatly. Started making notes to share with you tonight, but there were so many items that I was concerned about to share with you that I thought I can't go on like that. So I printed the parts to all of the secret review, parts 1 and 2 that I have comments on, so you don't have to listen to me go through them, and I'll provide them to you're the receptionist, you're the clerk tonight. Okay, also I'll provide them. I would ask that you copy them into the minutes and provide them to each of the board members. Without the planning board requiring a complete environmental impact study to provide confirmation of accuracy and transparency to the answers in the secret workbook, we have no assurance that our fears of possible health and quality of life issues will not happen. The fact that it takes time for the review should be irrelevant. Developers know this may be a part of their review process and that they are required to pay for the cost for the town's independent experts to verify facts and protect our community. An Article 78 proceeding could be avoided in full if a full environmental impact study is ordered. Please consider getting the full impact study done. It'll verify and put the community's mind to rest that everything that we've been told is backed up by by a second review. Just like you get a second review with a doctor, you get a second review with a lot of things that you're getting done. This is really important. We just need verification that what's here is going to be okay. I'd like to finish with a few comments that Preston Jenkins has posted to me by text tonight. He is unable to be here. He's been very concerned about this, and so has his wife. I'm a little broken up because I took pictures of him to do it. I think that's the start. The transportation study, I believe, was done over 25 years ago. Do we believe traffic hasn't changed in the last 25 years? The state has done studies on Route 9 and Route 197. Did some riding around. This is my comment on this. I did some riding around the other day, and I talked to Skimmerhorn, and I talked to a couple of other residential places within the region of what's happening here. There's over 2,000 families or individuals with residences in the last 10 years. That's a lot of change in the traffic and the people that are living in this area. So there's more people relying on you than there was all those years ago. He says, do you really believe there will be no runoff of water off the site to streams or river within the site sitting on the bedrock? I find that hard to believe. Regarding other comments, since no real studies were done on any of the main issues, it leaves a real dark error over your site plans. Providing facts to the community who are concerned has been neglected. Shouldn't an independent study be done? I believe having it done by Biochar is not an honest study. They didn't test the bedrock. First he says there will be no runoff. Now Mr. Martin says the runoff is treated on the site. Which one is it, Mr. Martin? He asks if a recent archaeological study has been done. Not sure if you know this, but is the land owned by the town of Moreau or National Grid? Not all the land in there is owned by the town. It was stated somewhere that the school tax was going to South Glens Falls.